Hello, and welcome to Alfred Hitchcock's Mystery Magazine's podcast series. I'm Linda Landrigan, editor of the magazine. This is our two-for-one episode, as it features Gary Alexander reading two stories that he published in AHMM, though several years apart. Four Wishes appeared in the February 2001 issue of the magazine, while Five Wishes appeared almost a decade later in the January-February 2010 issue. But these two brief stories both offer a take on a classic conceit. Gary Alexander is the author of numerous mysteries, including a series featuring the stand-up comic Buster Hightower, who also made his debut in the pages of AHMM. But now, Four Wishes and Five Wishes.
Well, we all know the story of Three Wishes, the old fairy tale, which is pretty grim, to use a terrible pun. But I thought to acknowledge the changing times, in particular inflation, we should have Four Wishes. Things went sour for Musgrove even before the diet pack exploded. The 85 Chevrolet Corvette he'd stolen for sentimental reasons started hard outside the bank. It finally ticked over and he peeled out before the cops arrived. Yeah, but in his mirror he saw somebody run outside and jot down his license number. There would be no clear sailing on the interstates. People didn't maintain their cars like they used to, he thought, just as the bag of money blew up, covering him in pink. Pink? When did they start using pink? Musgrove swerved into an alley behind a deserted warehouse and pushed open a door. Maybe there'd be a sink he could wash up, scrub off the dye, find old clothes, coveralls, whatever, bug out the front door and catch a bus. Bank robbery wasn't rocket science, he knew. It was quick and easy. You just needed to concentrate and pay attention to details. Plan as he might, bad luck was doing Musgrove in again. When his eyes adjusted to the darkness, he saw neither water nor clothing, but instead a midget who dressed funny. The little guy leaned against a pillar, arms folded, wearing tights, and an old-timey hat with a feather in it. What the hell? Musgrove said. I'm a fairy, said the midget. Musgrove clenched his fist. Don't get any ideas about the pink, shorty. You're barking up the wrong tree. Not that kind. I can grant you four wishes. Musgrove laughed. I thought it was three. Used to be, but we've liberalized. Clients invariably squander the first on a test wish and complain afterward. Our new policy is to let you get it out of your system and begin on a level playing field. Musgrove decided to humor him. He rolled up a sleeve. Okay, can you get rid of this? Your arm? No, dummy, the tattoo. Madge, surrounded by hearts, had been a constant and bitter reminder of infidelity. In the joint barely 15 years, and she hadn't waited for him. Can do, the fairy said, and the tattoo was gone. This is legit, Musgrove stammered. What I need worse is for this pink stuff to go away. The fairy snapped his fingers, not a problem. Hey, that shouldn't count. I didn't actually, you know, wish. This is the new millennium, sir. We've relaxed language formalities, preferring to evaluate and interpret to better fulfill the client's desires. Okay, I still have two wishes left. Far out. Far out? Where have you been? Released last Wednesday, Musgrove said. Robbed a bank to buy a brand new 85 Vette. It ain't like I was a terrorist or anything, and they throw the book at me. Wish that hunk of junk outside was new. I'd be long gone. You could have used a better attorney, the fairy suggested. Yeah, tell me about it. My lawyer's a real turkey. I wonder what happened to the shyster. Presto, said the fairy, clicking his heels. Double presto. Hey, knock it off. I split out of here. I still get my wishes? Our offer is good for 90 days, the fairy said vaguely. Sayonara, shardy, Musgrove said, walking out into a police trap. Officers not pointing weapons at him were admiring the getaway car, a fully restored 85 Corvette that even had the new car smell. Musgrove broke into an ear-to-ear grin. I wish I were on a beach right now, sitting on a pile of money surrounded by babes in bikinis. The grin degraded into a sickened smile as they rushed in. They pummeled him to the ground and snapped the cuffs on. The cop with a knee on Musgrove's neck read him his rights while the watch commander and the lieutenant conferred about whether to take him directly to jail or to a rubber room first for observation. Meanwhile, at the modest office suite of Alvin Selkirk, attorney at law, Madge stopped her two-finger typing and listened again. Sometimes Al would return from one of his long lunches with a snootful, the two-timing creep, and she'd hear disgusting sounds, but it was usually him snoring. A gobbling voice came from Al's private office. She stood up and listened some more. Gobble, gobble. Gobble, gobble, gobble. Madge sat back down at her keyboard. Now there was a pecking at the door. This was just too weird. Madge put on her stereo headphones, cranked up the music, and resumed working. Now we're going to move 9 years beyond the publication of Four Wishes to Five Wishes, which is, again, a logical progression acknowledging the effect of inflation. Leon Moyer knows he's in deep doo-doo when he sees himself on the local evening news as Channel 6's top story. Not that he wasn't in a pickle earlier in the day when the cops came to his house. He'd spotted them getting out of their car and scrammed out the back door and through the alley. Since he is a quote-unquote white-collar criminal, a SWAT team hadn't surrounded his place and crashed in. But if you believe the talking haircuts standing in his driveway now doing a live eyewitness exclusive, Leon Moyer is the worst monster to come down the pike since Bundy and Dahmer and the Enron sleazoids. The reporter says, Leon Moyer and his Ponzi scheme are thought to have duped 63 senior citizens out of their life savings. The promise of a significantly increased return on their investment nest eggs proved to be deceptive. Moyer's house of cards collapsed. The allegations are particularly cruel because Moyer's victims live on fixed incomes. Moyer looks at a photograph of himself that pops onto the screen. He sports a sincere gaze, gray in hair, and a low-key, avuncular manner he enhances with a cardigan sweater. The greedy geezers, they'd ask for it, Moyer thinks as he mutes the ace reporter and gets up to answer the door. That would be room service in his dinner. He'd gone directly from home to this hotel and checked in under an alias. The desk staff was busy and hardly paid him a glance. Moyer figures to hole up here a few days and skip town after things cool off. He squints through the peephole and sees nothing. If they are pressed against Holloway walls poised to storm in, what can he do? He's not about to jump from the 14th floor. Moyer grits his teeth and opens up. An extremely small man rolls in a food and drink cart. He's in forest green tights and an old-fashioned hat with a feather in the brim. The waiter's such a shrimp, the peak of the feather is only chest-high to Moyer. Moyer closes the door. You're in a different uniform than the regular staff. Is this the start of, medieval motif week or for a convention or something? The waiter uncorks Moyer's wine and says, I'm a fairy. Moyer resumes his seat and humors him. Fairies as an elf or leprechaun? Correct, sire. Interesting, replies an amused Moyer. This pipsqueak probably isn't young, perhaps his age or older, so he pitches him. I suppose you've given retirement some thought. Unfortunately, people start planning much too late. However, thanks to a revolutionary new investment program I've developed, there's time to greatly improve your cash flow. The fairy ignores Moyer's attempted flim-flam. May I pour your wine, sir, and grant you 5 wishes? 5 wishes? Yes, 5. I remember 3 wishes from the fable. 3 for centuries, but we've liberalized. Skeptical clients invariably squander the first on a test wish, then complain afterward. Our revised policy allows you to get it out of your system and begin on a level playing field, as it were. Isn't a 4th wish the next step? Why a 5th? Market dynamics, says the fairy. We're not the only organization providing the service. The competition is constantly raising the bar. Who knows where the escalation will end? Moyer gestures to the TV and Channel 6's continuing top story. Okay, make this go away. The television set vanishes. Moyer's shoes are untied. He literally jumps out of them. Yikes, you're for real. Obviously. Well, disappearing the TV set isn't what I mean. No problem. The fairy snaps his pictures and the television reappears, still tuned to Channel 6. On his tiptoes, the fairy lifts the cover on the cart. The London Royal's an excellent choice. Shall I dish you up? No, Moyer slumps in his chair, eyes wide. My head's spinning. Let me try to make some sense of this. I squandered two wishes, making the TV go poof and rematerialize. The fairy replaces the lid. Baby red potatoes and asparagus spears as a compliment? Yum. Yes, but your traditional three wishes remain. I do approve of the new policy. It's customer service oriented and less stressful for everyone involved. Again, sire, wine? Please, Moyer says, snatching the glass from him and gulping it down. As long as I'm being harassed by the law, I'll have no peace regardless how much money I have. Okay, let's make them announce that all charges are dropped. The fairy claps his hands. Done. Channel 6 switches to the studio and a pair of cuties, one male, one female, with near identical helmet hair. Moyer unmutes. In a startling development, the district attorney has just announced he is dropping all fraud charges against Leon Moyer, says an anchor. Yes, Moyer cries. A substantial amount of money was seized in Moyer's offshore accounts, enough to satisfy the victims, her partner follows. The restitution issue was key to persuading them to testify against Leon Moyer. Some victims were embarrassed, and most just want to get on with their lives. My money, Moyer says numbly. My money's gone. You see, when we alter reality, corollary aspects also change. We have no control over associated and subsequent events. So if I use my next to last wish to ask for my money back, the charges would probably be reinstated? The fairy shrugs miniature shoulders. I'm not privy to the workings of your legal justice system, sire. We won't know unless we try, but you have drawn a logical conclusion. Okay, let's do this. Let's go for a twofer. Moyer jabs a finger at the television. I want to hear from that brain-dead duel that I'm getting my money back and that all fraud charges on behalf of the oldsters are dismissed. Wishes 4 and 5, sire. I can count, Shorty. Is that your final decision? Go for it. In a further development, says an anchor, we're advised that seizure of Moyer's funds will be resisted by the offshore banking institutions. The process could take years. In the resulting confusion, the district attorney's office isn't hopeful that charges will ever be reinstated. Moyer pumps a fist. All right, I can clean out my accounts and hop a plane for Rio. When the ferry doesn't reply, Moyer turns. He's gone. Moyer checks out of the hotel quickly. He starts for the airport and thinks, wait a second, I'm in the clear, indefinitely. He heads home to pack his tropical clothes and his spare toupee. He's annoyed that his driveway is blocked by official cars. Not fuzzmobiles, but sedans with city plates. He walks in on civilians armed with briefcases and boxes and magnifying glasses. Who the hell are you? Forensic technicians, says one wide-eyed. Moyer laughs, searching for clues. As a matter of fact, we are. You're trespassing. Get out. It's him, says another technician. Moyer doesn't like the way they're looking at him and how one of the nerds is punching buttons on a cell phone. Moyer backpedals, but they pursue and pummel him to the ground on the lawn. The technicians sit on Moyer until reinforcements arrive. The detective who snaps on the cuff Mirandizes Moyer and says, that old saying about the criminal returning to the scene? I've never had that happen before in 24 years on the job. Moyer calmly replies, evidently you people don't follow the news. Those spurious charges against me were dropped. Yeah, we heard, said a detective. Well, get ready for the mother of all police brutality lawsuits, Sherlock. You must have had Channel 6 on, Moyer. They've had to have been smoking loco weed when they announced you were home free on the charges. The newscasters swear it was on their copy, but nobody can find a trace of it now. They're urinating into bottles as we speak. You were hearing what you wanted to hear. Moyer groans as he is inserted into a squad car. No, he had heard what he wished to hear.
That was Gary Alexander reading two stories from AHMM, Four Wishes from 2001 and Five Wishes from 2010. This podcast was produced with the help of our assistant editor, Jackie Sherbo. Alfred Hitchcock's Mystery Magazine is a monthly magazine of original mystery and crime fiction. To learn more about us, we urge you to go to our website, www.themysteryplace.com or look for us on Facebook. You can find the magazine at your newsstand. Digital versions are now available from Amazon, Apple, Barnes & Noble, Google, Magster, Sony, and Zinio. Thanks for listening.